word of the Lord tonight, and I don't really feel a lengthy sermon tonight. If you'll help me, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But I do have a word to leave with you tonight. I want to say I'm thankful to be a part of this church. I'm thankful for what God is doing here and what He has done and what He's going to continue to do. Hallelujah. Amen. He is a mighty God. And it's just an honor and privilege to be asked by our good pastor to fill this pulpit. And I take it very seriously. And I want to leave you a word. I want to leave you something good. But I want to leave you something that will help you, that will challenge you, that will put meat on your bones. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to be challenged of the Lord in the name of Jesus. And let's go ahead and read. I've got a couple of scriptures here, not a really lengthy reading, but if you want to turn in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, then we'll go to the book of John, chapter number 20. We'll read a couple of scriptures there, and then we'll see what God will do for us. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. The Bible said, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." I want you to say that last sentence with me. "And the people answered him not a word." Go to verse 30. "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." Somebody say, "And he repaired the altar." If we'll go to verse 36, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word." Somebody say, "Let it be known." And if you'll go to verse 37, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." And everybody said, "People may know that thou art the Lord God." The people may know that thou art the Lord God. Verse 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." And verse 39, the last verse here that I'll read, "And when all the people saw it," somebody say, "When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is God," or "He is the God, the Lord, He is the God. And when all the people saw it, they said, The Lord, He is God." When they saw the sign, when the people saw it, it wasn't until they saw it that they said, The Lord, He is the God. I want you to, if I'm going to read one more set of scriptures here, but I want you to understand what took place, and we're going to get into it in just a little bit. But the Bible said when Elijah approached them, he said, "How long halt you between two opinions?" And the Bible said the people didn't say nothing. They didn't have an answer. And then it said he repaired the altar. Then he said, "Let it be known that there's a God in Israel, that the people may know that thou art the Lord." And then when the people saw the fire come down from heaven, it was only then that they said, "The Lord, He is the God." Okay, you got that. Amen. Everybody say, "I got that." Go to John chapter 20 and verse 18. we're going to really get out of here quick. I just feel that tonight. I just feel like you're going to get with me, and we're going to have church, and we're going to pray through, and we're going to go home and eat and go to bed. Hallelujah. John chapter 20 and verse 18. If you're there, say amen. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, and we had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And then he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. In verse 24, the Bible said, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. They told Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. And verse 26, and after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Two more scriptures, 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, you believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Now, I want to pull these two scriptures together tonight. And I want to preach on this subject. I don't need a sign. I don't need a sign. Amen. Now, I want you to just stay with me tonight. Let's give the Lord a good hand of praise. And let's believe God for the word tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Touch these lips, oh God. I know that I'm nothing, Lord, except you move with your anointing tonight. Touch these people, God. Strengthen them in the Holy Ghost. Give you praise and give you thanks in Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Lindsay. God bless you. In 2 Kings chapter 18, the Bible tells a very familiar story that we have heard countless times and heard preached a number of times. But I want to look at it in just a little bit different light. When the Lord spoke this to my heart and I began to read this, I was smitten of the Holy Ghost. And we find here a scenario where you have Elijah, the prophet of God. You have Ahab, the king of Israel. And the Bible describes Ahab like this. Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, above all that were before him. And the very next thing it said was that, as if not being evil enough than his predecessors, he took a woman by the name of Jezebel and to be his wife. And the Bible said that together they went and served Baal and worshiped him. And then the word of the Lord said of Ahab that he did more to provoke the Lord God to anger than all the kings of Israel before him. This was a bad dude and a bad dudette with him. These were bad people. They did evil. They turned the people of God away from God and turned their heart toward Baal and to idol worship. And it's here that we find in this 18th chapter of this book of Kings, we find King Ahab and Elijah the prophet on a mountain called Carmel. And it's been termed several things. I've heard it called the Showdown at Carmel. But call it whatever you want to call it, they were there. And there was going to be a demonstration on that mountain that day. But I don't necessarily want to focus on the particulars of what happened there. But I want to look at the reasons why it happened. You see, the people of God, the people of Israel and their king had turned their back on God. Brother Carr, they had turned around from following God and began to bow before an idol made of wood or whatever he was made of that couldn't hear and couldn't see and couldn't help them and couldn't do for them like the God of their fathers had done. They had turned their back on the one true God of Israel and turned their heart to this idol. At one point, even in this scenario that I want to bring out to you, was that Elijah himself in verse 22 of this chapter was talking to the people and said, "Even I only remain a prophet of the Lord." But Baal's prophets number 450. And we know later on that that was not entirely true. Because later he would try to tell the Lord and try to get the Lord to feel sorry for him and tell him that I'm the only one left serving God. And I'm the only one that's doing right. And I'm the only one trying to live it and trying to make it. But God looked at him and said, "Get up and dust yourself off. Because I've got 7,000 that have not bowed a knee to Baal. And they have not kissed him. They are serving me tonight." Hallelujah. And I want to tell you of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. Let me tell you tonight, the church is not in trouble. The kingdom of God is not in trouble. God is not in trouble tonight, and he's still on the throne. And if you decide to turn around and walk out these doors never to serve God again, the church is going up. The kingdom of God is going to prevail. Can somebody say amen? There will always be somebody who doesn't bow to Baal. There will always be somebody who doesn't kiss his feet. There will always be somebody, amen, who doesn't bow to this world. There will always be somebody that doesn't bow to Hollywood and the things of this life. Somebody is going to live for God. Do you believe that tonight? I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord tonight. And let me tell you, if somebody is going to live for God, if somebody is going to serve God, if somebody is going to praise God, it might as well be me. And it might as well be you. I want to serve him. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. The church is not in trouble, thank God. So, we have here a good majority of Israel serving this dead God. Dead man-made God. And this is really the heart of what I want to say tonight. Elijah would ask the people that day, he would say, "How long will you straddle the fence? How long will you play with your salvation? How long will you be tossed about? How long will you be undecided between two opinions?" He said, "If the Lord be God, then follow him. If Baal be God, then follow him." Jesus said it like this in Matthew, "You cannot serve two masters. You can't have two masters. You only have one master tonight. It's that one you bow to. It's that one you obey. It's that one you give in to. That's your master tonight." Hallelujah. Elijah asked God to show the people a sign. Now, listen to this. He asked for God to show the people a sign. In verse 37, he said, "Hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God." Then in verse 38, the Bible said that fire fell from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the altar, the stones, the dust. Read it. It said it consumed the dust and then licked up the water. He gave them a sign. He gave them a demonstration. Then in verse 39, after all of that took place, Sister Rose, it was only then, after they saw the sign, it was only then that the people fell on their face and declared, "The Lord, He is God." And I want to tell you something tonight. I was reading this today and my heart was smitten. Here we have the people of God. Here we have the believer. Here we have the chosen people of God. The ones that should have known better. The ones that should have known who God was. The one that had heard the stories of the miracles and all the things that God did for the people, His people. And yet they did not serve Him. It was only after they saw a sign. It was like, "Lord, show us a sign, then we'll serve You. Show us something. Show us who You are. And then only then will we serve You." Did they not already know who God was? Had they not already been shown how God saved them? How God chose them? And Brother Cliff, you said it tonight. How He delivered them from all of the people of the land. And how He performed miracles for them. But yet they turned around from following Him. I want to tell you something tonight. Amen. I don't need a sign to follow Jesus. I don't need a sign to live for God. I don't need a miracle, Brother Irvin, to make me love God. You don't have to get in front of me and pull a rabbit out of the hat to get me to serve Him. I want to serve Him because I love Him. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor tonight and tell him, "I don't need a sign." Hallelujah. Give the Lord a good hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. I don't need a demonstration. I don't need a supernatural demonstration from God to prove who He is tonight. For you see, Brother Warren, nearly 30 years ago, He did something miraculous in my life. He totally changed my life. Forever. And He convinced me that serving God and pleasing Him is what I want to do. If He never does another miracle for me, I want to praise Him and I want to serve Him and I want to stand on my feet and tell the Lord, "I don't need a sign. You don't need to wave something in front of me, amen, to get me to love You. I have Your word tonight. I don't need a sign." Hallelujah. You see, He saved my soul from a burning hell. He wrote my name on the roll book of heaven. And if that's not enough, hear me tonight. If that's not enough to keep you excited about living for God, then no miracle will ever do it. All the loaves and all the fishes, they're not going to do the trick tonight. It's going to take a determination in your heart and in your soul. Hallelujah. To do it. Hallelujah. To live for God. I've seen miracles and I want to see more miracles. I want to see more things in my life. But you hear what I'm saying? If I never see another miracle, if I never see another healing, He's still God. Amen. If I die of cancer, He's still God. Amen. If I die in an automobile accident on the way home from church, He's still God. Hallelujah. Give me the mentality. Hallelujah. Help me to have the attitude. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I'm not turning back. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet for just a moment? Amen. Would you lift your hands and love Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want a determination tonight. I want to make up in my mind tonight. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I choose to live for God. I choose to live for Him. 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 Hallelujah. Nobody's making me do it. Nobody's forcing me to do it. Hallelujah. I'm doing it because I love Him. I do it because I love Him. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. Listen, obedience is great. You hear what I'm saying? Obedience is great and it's necessary. And we must be obedient. I believe it so much that whoever's up here leading the service or preaching, if they say amen, I believe you ought to say amen. Hallelujah. If they say clap your hands, I believe we ought to clap our hands. If the worship leader's saying, come on, church, let's worship God, I believe we ought to do our best to worship God. Obedience is important in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says to obey is better than the sacrifice. Your sacrifice is not any good. I don't care what you do. I don't care how far you go. Amen. If you don't have obedience, it does you no good. But after having said that, let me say this. And I don't want anybody to get me wrong and don't misunderstand what I'm saying tonight. Hallelujah. There comes a time in a child of God's life. And I'm not talking to the new convert tonight. If you're new in God, this is not for you. You can turn it off. Amen. But there comes a time in the child of God that we should not have to wait for a sign to do something in the kingdom of God. We should not have to wait for somebody to crank our motor and get us going. We should not have to wait for the preacher to pump us and prime us. We should not have to wait for the worship leader to pump us and prime us into worshiping God and living for God and doing something for God. There comes a time when we should be able to do it on our own. Let the free flow of the Holy Ghost move. Can somebody be a witness to that tonight? God, help me, Jesus, to love you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind, and with all of my strength. Hallelujah. You don't have to pump me. You don't have to prime me. I'm doing it because I love it. Nobody has to make me sing. Nobody has to make me shout. Nobody has to make me be faithful. Nobody has to make me pray. Come on now. Amen. When it comes to the things of God, amen, does somebody have to push you to pray and push you to worship and push you to dress holy and push you to live holy? There comes a time that we must do it because we want to and because we love it. Not just because the preacher said, do it. You're going to have somebody come to you one day and they're going to say, why do you dress like that, young lady? Well, you know, the preacher, my preacher. Why do you look like that? Well, my preacher. Why can't you go to the movies with me? Well, my preacher. Why can't you, whatever, you fill in the blank. Come on, some young man or some young lady is going to ask you, why can't we go in the back of the back seat of the car and, you know, do what you do back there? And you're going to say, well, my preacher. Come on now. Why do you live the way you do? My preacher says so. Why do you go to church so much? My preacher says so. When you get there, why do you have to shout and run and dance and love God and worship God? You see, because my preacher. No, that shouldn't be the reason why you do it. You should do it because my God says it. My God loves it. My Bible tells me to do it. I don't need a sign. I don't need a preacher to prophesy over me and tell me thus and so. I love God. And I'm going to serve him because I love him. You got people that are always, and I know we don't have it here. This is way somewhere else. But you know, when they wait for the visiting preacher to come because I need a word from God. I need to get prophesied. Ha, ba, 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 ba. In the name of Jesus. I feel like your washer machine is going to break down, but God is going to give you a new washer machine. You got a word from the Lord. I don't know. Is your washer machine broke down? No, see, I'm a false prophet. I don't need a sign. Jesus said a wicked and perverse generation. They look for a sign, but my Bible tells me that these signs shall follow them that believe. If you do it the right way, somebody's going to follow you. You're not going to follow somebody else. Could you clap your hands to the Lord tonight? It's not because my preacher says it. It's not because... It's because I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Somebody say, I love it. I don't need a sign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, it wasn't. And I was reading this and I was like, my God, there's the people of God, God's chosen people, God's elect that were bowing down to something that was dead. The Bible said Ahab built the groves and all the place of worship for Baal. And the people that knew better found themselves in a place where they were following. And maybe some of them said, well, I don't even know if God's alive anymore. We got this wicked king. The king before him was wicked. The one before him was wicked. And I don't even know if God. You know, if we just had a sign. If we just had a sign. You know, signs are good sometimes. But help me, God, not to have to wait for a sign. Not to have to wait for a preacher to tickle my ears and tell me what I want to hear. I don't want to have a preacher stir me up every time I come to the house of God. I'm talking to seasoned saints here tonight. I'm talking to those, amen, that have been in the church for a while. I don't want the preacher to have to hold my hand and say, come on now, this is the way you do it. This is the way we have church. This is the way we live for God. Now, it's going to be okay, baby. You just come on and let me hold your hand. And they never challenged me. And they never, 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 never help me to be challenged of God. And I'm never required to do anything. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet? Thomas said, I won't believe it until I see it. But Jesus said, blessed are they that believe, but they haven't seen. Are you waiting for a sign? God's got a calling on some lives in this room tonight. God's got to work for some people in this room tonight. And let me tell you in the Holy Ghost, saint of God, let me tell you with all sincerity of heart, there comes a time that you step out of the mentality of preacher, pray for me. Preacher, I'm going through a hard time. Preacher, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I need prayer. And I'm not belittling if you need prayer and you got a need in your life. But you know something? You know where the greatest miracles that have happened in my life, the greatest things that have taken place in my life, Sister Rose, is when I had the biggest need and I had the heaviest burden and I had the biggest load that I had been carrying. But I walked over to somebody else and I laid my hands on them and I prayed for them. I stepped out of my need. I wasn't waiting for a sign. God, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do something for you. If you'll talk to me, you know, I really feel like going back and laying my hands on somebody and praying for them. But if you'll just let the preacher say these words, then I'll do it. Or if you'll just work this problem out in my life, then I'll go teach a Bible study and I'll go do something. No, that's not the way it works. You don't wait for a sign for God to do something for you. You step out of where you are. And you say, Lord, I know I have a need. I know I'm in need. I know I've got problems. I know I've got circumstances. But I believe you enough, and I believe your word enough that I'm going to put an arm around somebody. I'm going to watch that visitor when they walk in the door. I'm going to make sure somebody's shaking their hand. I'm going to make sure that I'm praying with them. Amen. I'm going to make sure I'm in a corner somewhere. Amen. Trying to pray the Holy Ghost down in the service. Would you close your eyes right now? I feel the Holy Ghost, folks. I don't know if this is really what you expected tonight, but I'm giving you my heart. God, God wants to carry some of you here. God wants to carry some of you here to greater things in the kingdom of God. But we're waiting on a sign. We're waiting on a sign. Lord, if you'll just do this for me. You know, I just can't do it. Thomas said, I just can't believe it. Not till I see it. Jesus said, blessed are they that believe. And they haven't seen. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and love him? The Holy Ghost is challenging some tonight. Make up your mind. What is it that you want to do? What do you desire? Step out of that realm where the enemy is always stealing the joy and stealing your victory and stealing your joy and power with God. Don't allow circumstances to dictate to you. I just got fired from a job. I can't pay the bills. I'm fighting with my kids. And that gets in the way what God wants to do in your life. I'm not seeking a sign tonight. I don't have anything to pull and show you tonight. I don't have any powerful words of interpretation and tongues tonight. But all I have is a word from God that says, don't wait for a sign. God needs all hands on deck. We have said it for years here. I've had visions and dreams of this church. That God wants to use this church as leadership in this city, in this district. But it's only when we turn around and we get out of the mentality of always feeling like I'm the victim and I'm the one always in need. There's a world that's in need. God's looking for somebody to stand up and to say, God, here I am. Pastor, you're not going to have me in council every other week with problems in my life. Pastor, amen, you don't have to worry about me backsliding. Pastor, you don't have to worry about whether I'm going to be at church. I'm going to be there. You got enough to worry about. There's a dying world out there. You can count on me. God, I'm not trying to condemn anybody here tonight. Understand what I'm saying. That's not the plan of God. I'm trying to challenge you in the Holy Ghost. God wants to use you. God wants to do great and mighty things in your life. Hallelujah. If you want to be used of God, if you want to step into a realm that you have never stepped into before, why don't you make your way down to the front tonight? If you want God to put power into your life to be effective with somebody else, amen, and you want to say, Lord, I'm not waiting on a fire from heaven. I'm not waiting on a lightning bolt from heaven. You can count on me, God. You can count on me. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're doing this and this is not for you, amen, that's great. Hallelujah. But pray for your brother, your sister. Amen. Hallelujah. I know we're not hanging from the chandeliers tonight, but let me tell you something. God is in this house, and God is calling for a higher calling, a deeper consecration, a greater walk, a greater experience. I'm not always going to be the one waiting for God to pull my strings. But I want to step up. I'm ready, Lord. I've got a made up mind tonight. You can count on me. You can count on me, Lord. Hallelujah. Lay your hand on your brother, your sister tonight. Hallelujah. And pray with them as you sing this song. Dedicate your heart to God. Dedicate your life to God. Hallelujah. Mighty God, you loved me. You saved me. You saved me from hell. What more could I ask? What more could I desire? My Bible says if I seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. You hear this preacher tonight. If you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, it's promised in the Word of God that all of these things, He talked about food and shelter and clothing and provision, all of these things will be added to you. He cut on my heart. Hallelujah. I don't need a sign, God. You don't have to dangle the fishes and the loaves in front of me. You don't have to do one more miracle. I love you, and I'll serve you. Sing it again. Hallelujah. I'm not in a hurry tonight. If you're in a hurry and you need to go, then God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Minister to somebody tonight. Minister to somebody tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.